Chapter 29. None of the clones feel the same in the Force. It was a surprise to realize that, in the aftermath of the battle on Geonosis. But logical, once Luminara had considered it for a few moments. They're all unique souls, even if their genetic makeup is almost the same. And the Force reflects that. After so long serving with Green Company, Luminara can close her eyes and find each one of them, even on a chaotic battlefield. She knows them, immediate and instinctive, and their presence will never mean anything less than safety to her. The Jedi have always found safety in their temples, in each other's company. How strange to know that, in the midst of a war, they found safety in the midst of the fighting, in men made for combat, but suited for so much more. Gree's presence, more than any other, is as familiar as the hilt of Luminara's lightsaber, worn into her soul. He feels like dust motes drifting in the sunlight, like the deep, quiet peace of an aged and stalwart archive. And she follows her sense of him through the halls of the medical station, across long bays and down into the depths of the engines. The corridors here are tight, narrow, and maze-like, and Gree is tucked away near the very center, holding steady at the heart of the labyrinth. With a sense of growing unease, Luminara follows the turns of the corridors, passing private rooms, long-term care facilities. Gree went after the trooper in the hangar, and it's been hours now. She would have expected him to come find her immediately, but...
Master Unduli, a rumbling voice says from one of the side halls, and Luminara pauses.
Maybe it's simply nerves, but there's a prickle down her spine that feels like alarm, feels like facing Ventress in the darkness and seeing that red blade ignite. Just shadows, she tells herself, and turns, inclining her head to the basilisk approaching.
Master Krell, she says formally, and takes a step back to give him space to pass. I heard you were wounded in the fighting. Have you recovered?
Of course,
Krell says, but he's frowning, and that prickle comes again. Rage, Luminara thinks. What she feels is rage, and it's not her own.
Have you seen the Council's recent report?
Krell asks, and it's almost a demand. Luminara weighs her response for a moment, eyeing him up and down. Krell has never been an obsequious man, but this is blunt even for him.
I hardly need to see it, Master Krell, she reminds him gently. I was the one who wrote it, after all, as I sit on the Council.
It can't be correct, Krell bites out. No clone has ever presented as Force-sensitive in my companies. T must be mistaken.
Master T is a wise Jedi, with more experience than most, Luminara says. Even.
She has to tip her head up to meet Krell's eyes, but she doesn't hesitate, lets composure settle, and folds her hands into the sleeves of her robe.
She oversaw the running of the tests on her new Padawan personally. There's no chance she was wrong.
A clone can't be a Padawan, Krell says bluntly. They're grown in a lab. The Force wouldn't touch one of them.
It's not for you or I to say what the Force will do, Luminara tells him firmly.
It's a lesson even Barriss has learned, but some Jedi could stand to be reminded of it, clearly.
Padawan Tup is Force-sensitive and shall be trained accordingly. These are the facts of the matter, Master Krell.
Krell scoffs, one set of his arms folding over his chest. There are no aberrant clones among my troops. I won't have them tested.
The ability to feel the Force is a gift, Master Krell, Luminara says, and it's rather harder than it should be to keep her voice from slanting into something sharp. It is an easy thing to overlook in those untrained when not paying attention, as well. A simple test for midichlorians takes little time, And if there are clones with Jedi potential, we are honor-bound to offer them training. It will not interfere with your missions.
Krell scowls at her, and the prickles curl down Luminara's limbs, settle against her spine. Rage, she thinks again, and has to steel herself against it.
Then I will take care of it aboard my cruiser, he says dismissively, and report the findings.
Luminara frowns at him in return. The system stations are far superior, she reminds him. And beyond that, Master Krell, Master Galia and I have already scheduled your men for testing in the next 2 cycles. Given that you will be here for at least another 6 cycles, it shouldn't interfere.
There's a long pause. Krell's eyes narrow, and Luminara meets his gaze, unwavering. She doesn't like this. Jedi don't discriminate. They come from all species and planets, from cultures that are traditionally at war and peoples that refuse other contact with the rest of the galaxy. There's no space for biases, no tolerance for them. To be peacekeepers, they must always be impartial, at peace. Judging clones for their method of creation sits wrong.
I refuse, Krell says finally. It's insanity. Clones can't be Jedi.
Anyone may be a Jedi, Luminara says, and the sense of Krell narrows, focuses in a way that makes her straighten, chin lifting. And I'm afraid you don't have a choice, Master Krell. This is an order from the Council. Your men are to be tested. The silence stretches between them for a long, long moment. When Krell doesn't seem about to respond, Luminara inclines her head, satisfied that she's made her point, and steps past him. And then, behind her, there's a breath. Krell takes one pace forward, and there's something dark and cold in his voice when he says,
Master Unduli, what a shame I caught you attempting to sabotage the engines.
Ice curls its way through Luminara's veins, and under the draping cloth of her sleeves, she curls her fists into fingers. Master Krell, she says, a warning. Explain that statement.
The double hum of 2 lightsabers igniting is far too loud in the quiet hall.
I don't need to explain myself to a traitor, Krell says, and he sounds pleased. Tone low as he shifts. I caught you in the act and was forced to put an end to you. Truly tragic. And in the commotion, the station was damaged irreparably. So many clones lost.
There's no one close. No one approaching. Luminara fixes her eyes on the end of the hall. Breathes out. Gree is ahead of her, with another trooper, but not close enough to be in danger. And to think, Oddball believed it was the clones who could be a threat to her. This is not the Jedi way, Luminara says, and turns to face Krell smoothly, dropping her hands from her sleeves. She doesn't reach for her lightsaber, even though Krell has his lit and waiting.
The Jedi have lost their way, Krell growls. Lab specimens as Jedi? And you don't even see the way this war is turning. There's a new order coming, a new rule for this galaxy, and I'll see it brought to life.
Deliberately, Luminara rests her hand on the hilt of her lightsaber, watching him. Your men, she says, the realization curdling, dark and grim, in the center of her chest. Your casualty counts. How many lives did you throw away needlessly, Krell?
Krell scoffs. Needlessly? Ha! I won those battles for the Republic. What do a handful of cloned organisms matter? They can always grow more.
They are men, Luminara says, and thinks, for one instant, that she can understand all too well the use of Vapod in a fight. Channeled fury. And right now, she wants nothing more. She's a Jedi, though, and rage is nothing but a distraction. Deliberately, deftly, she bleeds it out into the force, breathes through it, and lifts her chin, draws her lightsaber, stepping back into one of the opening forms of Jem So. Soresu is her strength, but against another lightsaber user, the disadvantage is too great. Her duel with Ventress taught her that, more than clearly enough, forced her to grow. She would never have expected that a fellow Jedi would be her next opponent.
"They're weapons," Krell counters, and his grin shows teeth. "Weapons to be deployed and discarded like any other."
Twisting the lightsaber in his left hand, he considers her, then laughs roughly.
"You're only one half of a whole, Master Unduli. Without another person here, your skill is cut in half, and I am twice the opponent at the best of times."
Ego, Luminara thinks coolly. Ego and anger and a clear disregard for life. This isn't a true Jedi facing her. "I think you'll find that I am more than Jedi enough," she says, and twists. Krell's thrust misses her by the span of a finger, deflected off her green blade, and Luminara drives through it, pulls the force around her like a shroud of strength, and sweeps her lightsaber right towards Krell's second saber. Their blades crash together, and Luminara catches the movement of the other out of the corner of her eye, drops low, sweeps at a foot, slamming the heel of her boot into Krell's ankle with all the force she can bring to bear. With a shout, Krell leaps sideways, and Luminara surges to her feet, catches his wrist as the blue saber descends, blocks the green with her own. A fist catches her square in the face, and with a cry she's thrown back into the wall, hits hard, slides down, then rolls to her feet just in time to deflect Krell's blade. Something wet trickles down her face, and her headpiece is askew, but she ducks Krell's third fist, leaps back, and turns to let another thrust miss her. Twists around it, gets a foot on the wall, and leaps, flipping up and over his head and down. Krell spins, fast for all his bulk, but Luminara is faster. She deflects a fist with her forearm, kicks a second fist aside, dodges the green blade, and catches the hand holding the blue saber, takes a hit that glances off her ribs, ignoring the pain, and thrusts her blade up. With a howl, Krell recoils, green saber flying from his fingers. The two halves of it clatter down the hall, sliding to a stop on the metal flooring. Luminara smiles thinly. "You are just as sloppy as Ventress," she says, and settles into a ready stance again, lightsaber raised. "And your arrogance is even worse. There is nothing about you that deserves the title of Jedi, Pong Krell."
Clutching his useless hand to his chest, Krell hisses. "My arrogance?" he demands. "Look to your own, Unduli. You think you know everything. You think you can control this war. But there's an empire rising that no one will be able to stop, and I plan to be part of it. An empire with real Jedi, and no need to weigh sentiment against reality."
"Sentiment is our greatest strength," Luminara says coolly. "I would call it empathy."
Krell snarls, and in a blur he lunges. Luminara goes low, twisting past the lightsaber as it skims along her own, rising hard and sweeping her blade up, sees the fist just within reach of her and sidesteps it, bringing her blade back around to block the next blow, sees the flare of Krell's cloak, and with a sharp gesture, she hauls his hood up over his head and down over his eyes. In the half-second of his distraction, she slaps a hand against his chest, one hard blow with the force behind it, and shoves him back into the wall of the corridor so hard that the metal buckles. She isn't quite fast enough to dodge the wild lash of his lightsaber, though, and cries out as it scores a long slash through her robes, skimming skin with the awful ache of cauterized skin. The pain makes her stagger, and she has to catch herself on the wall before her vision steadies again. With a ragged cry, Krell tumbles to his knees, then staggers up, breathing hard. "You fight the inevitable," he snarls and shoves his hood back. "You're no match for me, Unduli."
Luminara smiles, pushing herself up. Her side aches, the wound pulling unpleasantly. But it doesn't matter. There are more important things at stake here. Ventress said the same to me, she says. And yet, here I stand. Deliberately, she wipes the blood from her face, straightens her headpiece. Surrender, Krell. The Jedi will show mercy.
Krell's expression twists, a sneer. I won't,
he says, and lashes out. Luminara, braced for a lightsaber, feels invisible fingers snatch her by the throat, slam her back into the wall so hard her vision spins, and she chokes on a gasp. Her lightsaber tumbles from her grip as the hold on her throat tightens, hard enough to crush her throat. A blaster bolt streaks right at Krell's head, and he jerks back, holds on Luminara slipping. With a cry, she breaks it the rest of the way, drops to the ground as Gree approaches at a run. Rolling, she snatches up her lightsaber, then lunges, putting herself between Gree and Krell and catching Krell's blade with a surge of intent. Feels the steadiness of familiarity, the motions as Gree falls back, aims, fires, and moves with him. Lets the bolt distract Krell as he blocks it, and then the next, and drives Krell's lightsaber down with one hard strike. Behind her, Gree hesitates, and Luminara doesn't have a bond with him the way she does with Barriss, but remembers the touches against her wrist time and again. One little brush to reassure them both of each other's steadiness, and Luminara knows his mind almost as well as Barriss's. Sends a thought, a brief instant of crystal clarity and reassurance, and her own next move, and feels his breath catch more than hears it. Feels the determination that rises in tandem with hers, and moves. Krell's lightsaber sweeps at her head, a practiced stroke, but Luminara ducks beneath it just as Gree's next shot sounds. Krell sidesteps it, but the opening is all Luminara needs, as two more shots drive Krell sideways. She blocks his blade with her own, shoves him back with all the strength the Force can give her, and turns. A blaster bolt passes right in front of her eyes as she knocks Krell's blade wide and strikes true. With a cry, Krell staggers, puts a hand to his chest, like he can't believe he was hit, and Luminara doesn't hesitate. She flips her blade around, slashes down as he brings his lightsaber up to counter, and takes his arm off at the elbow. Krell's scream rings through the hallway, but even as he collapses, he throws a hand out. Luminara feels the intent of it, sees the lightsaber rise. With a curse she learned from Buzz, she throws herself forward as it hurtles towards Gree, puts herself between him and the lightsaber. There's no time to react more carefully, no way to block it well. She slashes her blade into it, ducks its spin, and feels a wrench as something hits her headpiece. The cloth tears away, split down one side. But she snatches the hilt of Krell's lightsaber out of the air and brings her own blade down sharply, cutting the hilt in half just as another blaster shot sounds. The two pieces tumble out of the air, the kyber crystal shattering away to slide into the hall beside them. Behind Luminara, there's a thump of a body hitting the ground, perfectly still. That shot wasn't set to stun, Luminara is sure. And any loss of life is a tragedy, but somehow she can't bring herself to mourn this one. General, Gree says, and in a moment he's at her side. Luminara automatically puts a hand up, but before she can even start to worry, a dark cloth covers her hair in place of her lost headpiece, draping over her shoulders. Sorry, sir, Gree says quietly. I didn't look, but I thought... Something like laughter bubbles up in Luminara's chest, warm and bright. Carefully, she resettles the cloth, which is nothing even close to standard issue for a clone to be carrying, and makes sure her hair is covered before she straightens, wrapping the ends around her shoulders as Barriss does when she isn't wearing her cloak. Thank you, Gree, she says, rough through her bruised throat, and reaches out. Touches the back of his wrist, right where the skin shows between his glove and his armor, and offers him a smile. You were carrying that just for me? Gree isn't wearing his helmet, and the faintly abashed curl of his mouth is easy to see. You or the commander, he admits. I read up on Mirialin's and thought it would be good to have, just in case.
I appreciate it.
Once more, Luminara checks that the scarf will stay, then deactivates her lightsaber and deliberately clips it to her belt. Pong Krell is dead. She doesn't need to look to know that. And the assistants as well.
Gree's breath is heavy, relieved. I was just coming to find you, he says. Krell's sergeant told me a lot of things about their last deployment, including how Krell had their captain executed for treason because he wouldn't let Krell get their men killed.
Luminara swallows, and the ache in her throat is nothing compared to the ache in her chest. A clone tried to save his brothers, and he was killed for it. She shouldn't be glad that Krell isn't alive to stand trial, but... Well, Jedi strive for goals that they probably don't always meet. She'll reflect on it later when she meditates, and likely be very sorry then.
Probably.
No longer,
she says, and coughs as her next breath rasps in her throat. There's an inhale beside her, and Gree raises a hand. Hesitates. When Luminara casts him a tired smile, though, he smiles back and carefully reaches for her, tilting her chin up to check the undoubtedly spectacular bruises that are already appearing on her neck.
No, Gree says, and he sounds grimly satisfied. You beat him, sir.
Dark Jedi, Luminara wants to say, but the adrenaline from the fight is leaving her, settling as weariness.
We did, Gree. The sergeant... she asks.
I sent him to the Tranquility, Gree says, along with as many of his company as he could round up. Cooker was going to get them settled somewhere Krell couldn't reach. He pauses, glancing at the slumped form, and says, guess that's not necessary anymore.
No,
Luminara agrees on a breath. She needs to do something for his men, anything at all, because the Jedi missed this. They missed one of their own falling to the dark side, using the lives placed in his care as nothing but tools. And in light of that, nothing they do will ever be enough to make amends.
But let them stay. I'll see to getting them drafted into Green Company, if you're willing, Commander.
Absolutely. Gree catches her elbow when her first step wavers and says quietly, we need to get you to Commander Offee, sir. You're looking a little rough.
Luminara snorts. Not even I can keep my composure after a basilisk punches me in the face, she says dryly, and frames the hot, swelling bruise that surrounds one eye and a nose that's likely broken. Krell's fists were rather larger than most.
I thought you did just fine, Gree says quietly, and his hand tightens faintly on her arm. Sir, I... thank you.
Luminara can feel the reason for his words, resting just beneath them. But she shakes her head.
Krell was wrong, she says, unwilling to waver on this. You are all your own men.
Your men, too, Gree says, all humor. I think that's a plus.
Luminara smiles, touching the scarf that covers her hair.
For me as well, she promises, and glances back at Krell's body. I need to calm the council and...
Med bay, Gree says firmly, and steers her back towards the main part of the station. I'll station men to watch the scene. Commander Offee will be very unhappy if you don't let her check you.
That's all true, too, Luminara reflects, wincing faintly. Varys will be dismayed over all parts of this, but... there was no way Luminara could have called for backup during the fight. But it ended without issue. The Force put Gree right where she needed him to be, just as he always is. And Krell is one more piece of darkness the Jedi Order need not harbor any longer.
All right, she allows, and lets him lead her towards Medbay 6, listening with half an ear to the orders he murmurs into his calm.
There's a definite one included to secure her a new headpiece, and Luminara can't help but smile, eyes closing as she lets Gree guide her. Regardless of how they were created, the clones exist as unique souls. There isn't one among them that Luminara wouldn't mourn or fight for. It's not just a Jedi's empathy, either. The clones are loyal, and there's nothing to do but return that loyalty. It's only right, and it's an honor, even more than that. She leans on Gree, taking in his sense of aged, quiet places and sunlight, and smiles at the brush of fingers over the back of her wrist. Just an instant, but it brings his mind into clear, sharp focus, and Luminara sends a touch of warm reassurance back. It's welcomed, easily and instantly. Luminara knew it would be. "Commander Colt," Shaak says, a little surprised to find him waiting in the hall outside Lama Su's office when she leaves her meeting.
"Done so soon?"
"Just touching bases with the other commanders," Colt says, and turns to fall into step with her.
"You could have told me you had a meeting."
The censure in his voice is mild, born of worry. Shaak glances at him, but doesn't waver as they head out onto the wide walk that cuts back towards the cloning facility.
"It was sudden. I wasn't expecting the Prime Minister to call on me so abruptly. But Egan, Dogma, and Tup saw me here," she says serenely. "There was little risk."
"Not while they were with you," Colt agrees, though he doesn't sound pleased about it. Lets out a breath. Even so, she can feel him shove the emotion away, bury it behind determination.
"The cadet is still around?"
Shaak hums, amused.
"I believe Egan's taken to him. He does have a fondness for helping people."
Glancing up, she takes in the lash of rain against the transparasteel and says,
"Something happened."
It's not a question, but Colt inclines his head, one hand tightening, like he doesn't know whether to curl it into a fist or rest it on his blaster.
"Found something you should hear," he murmurs, quiet enough that no one is likely to overhear. "Blitz managed to get a bug into Nala Se's office, and it picked up something interesting."
Shaak pauses, a flicker of surprise warring with concern.
"Dangerous," she says softly.
Colt just snorts. "We're soldiers, sir," he reminds her. It's not a thing Shaak can ever forget. She turns her eyes forward, slipping her hands into the sleeves of her robe, and inclines her head.
"For now," she says, a little sad.
Colt is silent for a moment.
"I don't know anything else,"
he finally says, and it's somewhere between confession and dare.
"And this suits me, sir."
Shaak doesn't point out that he doesn't know what suits him, since this is all he's done.
"Maybe," she says instead. "When the war is over, there will be no need for either of us to be soldiers."
"I look forward to it," Colt says bluntly. "You're a good fighter, sir, but I don't want you to be a soldier."
"It's the same for me, Colt,"
Shaak tells him, and when he gives her a sideways look, she tips her head.
"Change will not make you obsolete. You are valuable no matter what role you take, and there will always be a place for you beside the Jedi, should you want it."
For a long, long moment, Colt doesn't answer. Then, at length, he says,
"All those diplomatic missions where you talk too much, think you'd want a guard?"
Shaak considers.
"No," she says, "but I think I would do far better on them with a partner."
Colt's smile is quick, but clear, even when he's not looking at her.
"As long as it's not all talking."
Lifting a hand, Shaak covers a chuckle.
"There is usually an equal amount of fighting for our lives," she says, amused. "Or, in some cases, running for our lives." Colt snorts. That I can definitely help with, he says, and steps back as they approach her quarters, letting her key the door open. Tup and Dogma are gone for a bit.
I believe Agon was going to teach them to meditate, Shuck confirms, and follows him inside, closing and locking the door behind her.
The jammer on the table activates with a touch, and she breathes out a sigh as the seriousness of the matter settles like a shroud.
We're safe.
With a nod, Colt pulls a small device from his belt, setting it beside the jammer. Blitz stuck it under her new desk, easy enough for Havoc to grab when he turned up with some reports. Grimly, he hits a button and...
Assure you, it had nothing to do with my forces. If there was an intruder, you would be best served turning your accusations elsewhere, Doctor.
Shock goes very, very still. The voice is terribly, unsettlingly familiar. One she's heard in separatist propaganda since the owner's departure from the temple. Once he was a friend, as close as any master with a troublesome Padawan, ready to laugh with her over their student's antics.
The Jedi, Nala Se says, are entirely convinced that it was your apprentice. Given the state of our employment with you, I hadn't thought you would need to steal anything, Count.
Employment, Shock thinks, closes her eyes. Well,
the Jedi have been mistaken before, Dooku says, coolly amused. I would not take their word for anything that happens, regardless of whether it's under their noses. Look elsewhere for your culprit.
Very well, Nala Se allows, cold but polite. Thank you for your time, Count Dooku. Dooku makes a sound of amused tolerance.
Things are progressing according to plan, he asks.
Of course, there are no flaws in our design. Reaching out, Colt stops the recording. They don't ever mention the chips, he says. But,
given that they are speaking at all, I am more than willing to believe that Dooku has a hand in their presence,
Shock says gravely, and curls her hands together, staring down at the bug. Her chest feels tight, and it's hard to know what to do next. Contact the Council, send another secure transmission of files, of course, but... The clone army is being altered by the Separatists. Every clone trooper she's sent out has had something done to them. Something she doesn't know, can't guess at beyond the understanding that it will be terrible for the clones and Jedi alike, for the Republic as a whole as well.
We've been caught in a web, she says softly, into the silence,
feels the steel in the words, but doesn't even try to hide it.
The enemy has spun a net around us without us ever seeing the threads of it. I fear that we are all in grave danger.
We are, Colt acknowledges, and a moment later Shock feels him move, feels a hand settle on her shoulder, knuckles brushing her leg, with the weight of reassurance behind it. But none of us are going into this alone, sir. You've got all of us at your backs. A good reminder, Shock breathes out, lifts her head and smiles at him.
And you and your brothers have the Jedi, she promises,
curling her hand over his, lets it rest there for a moment, long and careful. And Colt steps closer. Their shoulders brush, and Shock can feel the determination in him, the steady, stalwart focus that could hold back an ocean. Dooku won't win. He was a friend once, but he's an enemy now. Yoda faced him down on Geonosis, failed to beat him. But this time it's Shock's turn. Old friend or not, she has millions of clones who need to be protected from his schemes. And with them at risk, she won't hesitate.
Colt, she says, perfectly composed. Your batchmates, would the three of you be willing to accompany me on a mission?
When Colt raises a brow at her, she smiles. There will be very little talking. I believe I can promise you that.
Colt looks at her for a beat, then smirks.
Sure, General, he says. Easy. Dangerous. Permission to raid the armory before we go?
Shock smiles back, thinks of the Akul on Shili, and running it to ground, and the way her knives cut deep.
I think, Commander, that sounds like a splendid idea.